on, everybody. Okay, that's good, that's good, that's good. Well, this is a celebration, isn't it? How many of you are ready to celebrate? How many of you like Good Friday and like the doom and gloom and the darkness and death and all the somberness of all that? And how many of you like Easter? Now, there's no Easter without Good Friday. And so we had a great celebration, or more of a remembrance and a commemorative on Friday, of Good Friday. And it was terrific to spend some time with a church down the street, with Covenant Community Church. And we shared Good Friday together. And then they came over here this morning at the crack of dawn, literally the crack of dawn. And some of you are here. Look around. The people around you that are like really sleepy looking, they were here this morning for our sunrise service. But Covenant joined us for that, and it was just a great time to watch the sun try to come through the clouds and through the rain. And more importantly, not just that the sun is rising physically, but remembering that the sun has arisen. And this is the day, this is the Super Bowl of the Christian calendar, this is the World Series. There's no bigger day, there's no more exciting time. I even wore a tie for the occasion, just for a change of pace. Thank you very much. It's the only one I have, but actually I have a couple more, but my son borrows them from time to time. But this is it. I mean, I'm so excited to be here. Some of you are so excited because you're like, boy, when we're done, we get the Easter baskets or candy. Some of you are like, I get to eat meat for the first time in 40 days. Yay. None of you guys? Who gave up something for Lent? Okay, so some of you are like, yeah, this is a great day. I was over at my cousin's house yesterday, and he said, yeah, we've given up desserts for Lent. And then he kind of said, well, except when company comes over. So he was really glad to see us. I said, it's really funny because I noticed on your calendar you had guests over every day for the last 40 days. He's like, we just invite everybody during Lent. But anyhow, this is it. This is a day of celebration. And I'm so excited. A great story, just to kind of start us out. A Sunday school teacher asked her class on the Sunday before Easter if they knew what happened on Easter and why it was so important. And one little girl spoke up and said, Easter is when the whole family gets together, eat turkey, and sing about the pilgrims and all that. And the teacher's like, no, it's not. And the second kid said, well, I know what Easter is. Easter is when you get a tree and decorate and give gifts to everybody and sing lots of songs. And the teacher's like, no, that's not it either. And finally, a third student spoke up and said, Easter is when Jesus was killed and put in a tomb and left for 3 days. Oh, thank goodness somebody knows, the teacher said. But then the student went on, then everybody gathers at the tomb and waits to see if Jesus comes out. And if he sees his shadow and has to go back inside, and we have 6 more weeks of winter. So happy Resurrection Sunday style. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, this is the day that we celebrate, and actually every day should be a celebration, because every day you are alive, and you conquered sin, and you conquered death, and we just rejoice. We sing hallelujah, praise the Lord today, because you are alive, and we serve a God, a risen Savior who's in the world today, and we give you praise and thanks. And I just ask you now that as we study your word, as we sing and we celebrate this great day, that you would rejoice, you would be blessed, you would be honored and glorified. And that the attention truly would not be about peeps and chocolate bunny heads, but it would be about you, our risen Savior. And I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would please you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're concluding our series called The King's Speech. And we've been looking at some important details, important moments in the life of Jesus, 4 crucial moments. And in fact, no moment in history, in all of history, is more important than this one. This is the defining moment in human history. Everything rises and falls on what we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no greater day. So today it's a celebration. It's a holiday. And some people... well, holidays, what's your favorite holiday? And the correct answer is not necessarily Easter, so let's not go there. But what are some favorite holidays that you guys have? Anybody? Christmas. Your birthday. Okay? Good. Any other? Thanksgiving. Yeah, for years my favorite holiday was Thanksgiving. Just love Thanksgiving and family gatherings. Anyone else? Fourth of July. Good. Good. Anyone else have a favorite holiday that's not covered? Seems like those are the big ones, for sure, right? Holidays are a really, really big deal in our home. A really big deal. I mean, we just celebrate all sorts of things. We like to throw barbecues on the 4th of July. We like to make birthdays special. We even celebrate opening day for the Tigers, and we get hot dogs out, and we play baseball music, and it's just, we just have a lot of fun. And honestly, it's not my influence, it's my wife's, because she's just a party animal, and we just love to party and celebrate and have a great time. Most holiday festivals, however, they stray from their original purpose. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but the 4th of July, you know, we think the 4th of July is when you get the barbecue going and, you know, you get a day off work and it's a great time. But really, it's not even, the 4th of July is really not even about our country and patriotism. It really goes back to a document. I mean, what we celebrate is the signing of a piece of paper. Have you ever been to a 4th of July barbecue when someone pulled out the Declaration of Independence and just read it at the barbecue? You're like, what the heck is that all about? But that's really what we celebrate. I mean, if we really go back to the roots, that's what it's all about. Birthdays? How many of you have ever celebrated your birthday and you bring out your birth certificate and you show photos of your birth? I mean, you younger people, we could show videos of your birth. And it's like, no, let's not go there. But we don't really do that. What we celebrate on a birthday, instead of like the day of the birth, we're really celebrating, hey, you survived another year, or look at all the years you've had, right? We put all the candles to remember not your birth, but everything that's happened since your birth. And then there's Easter. And some churches don't even call it Easter because, well, there's just some weird history stuff, and some say it has its roots in pagan connections and all these sorts of things. But certainly we can say, well, it's been commercialized and all that. But today we celebrate the resurrection. And friends, the resurrection, this day is really, it's not about Christianity. It's not even about Jesus. It's about an event, a historic event that occurred in human history. And it's really important on this day that we go back and we remember what happened on this day. We look back about 2,000 years ago when a man was brutally murdered. An innocent man, and then he came back to life. Now, I was once looking at a book on world religions, and I was just kind of curious, you know, I was just reading this book. Oh, it talks about, you know, all these different religions. And I was curious what it said about Christianity. And the very first thing that this book said, and it was not a Christian book at all, but it said Christianity is a historical religion. It's based on events in human history. It's not based on someone that had a bad dream or some mystical vision. It's not based on what someone's great writings and teachings were. Today, we don't even celebrate Jesus' teachings for being a wise scholar and saying the golden rule and all these sorts of things. What makes Jesus special, what makes Jesus unique from all other gods and all other religions, and there's a whole lot out there, and everybody says they're all right, just pick one, choose one, whatever works for you, put a smorgasbord together, mix and match, stick it in the blender, whatever you want to do. But what makes Jesus apart and what makes Christianity apart, and the reason that we're here, is because of what happened about 2,000 years ago, a historic event called the resurrection. That's why we're here. And that validated all the things that Jesus said. It validated all the things that he taught. And without the resurrection, we can all go home. See, we don't worship Jesus and celebrate Jesus just because he was a wise guy. There's plenty of wise guys out there. Both like real wise guys and, you know, the Three Stooges wise guys. But very, very important to recognize this morning. This is a historical event in human history. And we're going to take a look at it together. The account, Matthew 28. Let's just take some time, and Sarah read part of it earlier, but we're just going to look at, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. Now just think about that for a moment. There was a violent earthquake, and there was an earthquake on the day of Jesus' death. The whole earth shook. It was dark. People must have been freaking out. In fact, one of the soldiers said, surely this must be the Son of God. A guy who had no belief, a guy who killed Jesus, just looked around at what happened after his death and said, whoa, something just happened. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Have you ever seen someone that made you so afraid you just started to shake? I haven't. I wish I had a photo of the angel for you. I think that'd be so cool. But we don't have any photos of the angel. But the rock looked probably something like this. A lot of times, maybe some of you grew up in Sunday school and you had like the little flannel graph and these old little pictures and different depictions. But this is a fairly likely image of what it looked like. A giant Oreo cookie. Like a giant wagon wheel. And if you notice, it's like in a little track. The stone was huge. And this particular stone, the stone did several things. What was the purpose of the stone? Seal. Why would we seal a tomb? Animals out. Vandals, robbers. What else? The odor, that's right. It gets nasty in there. And so they would cover up the tomb. They would carve a tomb out. I mean, carving a tomb through rock like that's a pretty big deal. They didn't have all the tools that we have today. But they would carve that out and then they would put the stone over. And it wasn't actually an ordinary burial, though. If we go back a few verses to the previous chapter, it says, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Jesus took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in a new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. And then this last deception would be worse than the first." So Pilate answered, "Take a guard, go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. So that huge stone wasn't good enough. They sealed the tomb and then they posted a guard. So Jesus' body is placed in the tomb. The tomb was covered with a stone. The stone had a seal. The guard was posted. And I've always found it fascinating that the chief priest heard Jesus say that he would rise again, yet his followers were clueless. It's almost like God had opened their eyes to hear and their ears to hear what Jesus was saying. Because time and time again, Jesus said, "I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back." And yet all of his followers were totally clueless. Totally clueless. Well, back to the story. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." They entered the tomb. They saw where Jesus lay. Yet he was not there. And the urge to believe. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. I love the juxtaposition of emotion there. He was afraid yet filled with joy. I mean, what a strange, strange blend of emotions. Everything that they were expected. They had taken all these spices and stuff. They were ready to just wrap a dead body. They were just going to kind of take care of Jesus' dead body. And his body, they took it off the cross. And they had to rush to put it in the tomb because it was Sabbath. It was almost Sabbath and sundown was Sabbath. So they had to do everything they could before sundown. And they realized they probably didn't do all that they needed to do. And so here these ladies are here. They're kind of having a funeral. I mean, they're ready to take care of this dead body of Jesus. And then they run into an angel and then they see he's not there and he's risen. And we weren't expecting this. And suddenly Jesus met them. And this is what he said. And pay attention to these words. Jesus says, first of all, greetings. How's it going? They, They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Jesus' first word to the women, the greeting, it really wasn't, "How's it going?" But the translation of the word is, "Rejoice. Rejoice. I'm alive. Rejoice." He urges them to rejoice. The women are then urged to go and tell. Now, this isn't show and tell, but it's go and tell. He's like, "Here I am, but wait, don't spend all day here. I want you to go and tell the rest of the gang that I'm alive." Now, we could talk a long time about, well, why were the ladies the first ones to see him? And why didn't Jesus just go tell them? And why didn't he supersonic transport himself there? And why didn't he just, you know, appear on a billboard or float around above the skies or whatever? But for whatever reason, these ladies were the first to see Jesus, and he sends them on a mission to go ahead and tell his disciples, "Tell my brothers to go to Galilee." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. If you know anything about those chief priests, I mean, these are the guys that killed Jesus, so not a good story there. But when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, I love this statement. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You're to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. Because if this report gets to the governor, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. It was all a conspiracy, it was all this plan. Hey, let's try and buy these guys off and create this story. But wait a minute, weren't they already creating the story before? Didn't they already know? That's why they put the soldier there and the seal and all that. Matthew tells us why some would not believe in the resurrection. A plan was devised to turn this thing into a myth. And friends, for 2,000 years, people have been devising plans to explain away the resurrection. There have been critics, there have been skeptics that said there's no way a human being could rise from the dead. There are actually reports of people that have risen from the dead throughout human history. But Jesus predicted that he would rise from the dead, and then he did it. Maybe his body was stolen. Yeah. Well, I mean, think about the story. How would that... One of my favorites is that maybe Jesus never died and walked away. I love that one, friends. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, I mean, they butchered Jesus. He's wasted. And then it says later, he met his disciples like 7 miles down the road. So, he's just breathing a little bit of life. And then he decides, I'm not really quite dead. So I'm just going to get up, knock over the tomb, forget the seal, say hi to the soldier, and just go for a 7-mile walk. No. No. He was dead. Oh, by the way, they pierced the spear and blood and water came out of his heart and all this stuff. I mean, he was dead. He was dead. And there's one huge problem with any of the arguments about, he really didn't die or his body was stolen or whatever. Hundreds of eyewitnesses saw him. And they didn't just see him like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe. Some people say, it's hallucination. Like they were all doing drugs at the same time or something and all, having the same image and the same. I don't think so. These people, many of them gave their lives as martyrs for their belief. Now, I never did drugs in college. I'm just being honest. I never did. I never inhaled or all that stuff, But had I ever had some wild trip and saw some strange thing, I may have a great story to tell you. I may even write a book. But I wouldn't die for that story. You don't die for something unless you're sure of it. And these people, they gave their lives. And several people, they wrote accounts. It wasn't just one or two guys. I mean, Matthew wrote an account, and he was a tax collector. And Mark wrote his account. And Luke, a doctor, he wrote a real detailed account. And John wrote his account. And various people, and throughout human history, and throughout particularly that era of history, we know a lot of these people, they died not because they believed in a good teacher. They died because of one central belief, and that was that Jesus rose from the dead. Friends, a resurrection is not merely an important part of our faith. everything rises and falls on it. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. I mean, here's the guy that wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. He says, it's all about the resurrection. If it didn't happen, forget it. We're done. Finishing our story, it says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, we recently looked at the last part of this passage. It was actually like the final words of Jesus. He told them to go and make disciples. Remember what he told the women? He said, fear not. And then he said, go and tell. Go and tell. And he says, here's why I'm with you. Fear not. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus promised them power. He promised them his presence for their commission to go and tell. You say, well, so what? I mean, some of you are Christ followers, and without the resurrection, there's no Easter. There's no Christianity. There's no church. There's no eternal life. There's no heaven. There's no hope. There's no joy. There's no peace. Everything depends on the resurrection. Everything. If you believe in the resurrection, you must believe in his commands, including his final command to go and tell. If we serve a dead God, our faith is useless. Our faith is no different than any other religion. But Jesus is different. Here's where some of the remains of Buddha are buried, in Sri Lanka. You can actually go to the place where Buddha is buried. This is where Confucius, where his body can be found in China. This is where Muhammad is buried, in Saudi Arabia. I mean, these are all wonderful people. Great people, did wonderful things, did miracles, taught, whatever, have had followers for ages. But they're dead. There's only one tomb that's empty. Jesus is alive. Of all the world religions, we serve a God who is living, who is alive, who conquered sin, who conquered death. And if you think that you need help in this life as I do, would you rather go to the one you see in the mirror, who probably got you in half the problems that you're in? I'm just sharing my story. Or you want to go to someone that's dead? Or do you want to serve a God who's conquered sin, who's conquered death, and who's alive? Who offers hope and peace and joy? Who for 2,000 years has had followers of every nationality, every tribe, every language, culture, following this amazing, amazing person? Who not only died and did some miracle trick, but died for you and died for me. And said, if you follow me, if you receive me, I will forgive your sins. I will give you a new slate. Nothing you can do can make me love you more. And nothing you can ever do can make me love you less. Friends, there's like two types of people. There's the people that feel like, well, I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Friends, if you get what you deserve and I get what we deserve, we're all doomed. We're all doomed. It says all have fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus offers forgiveness. See, there's the other side of people. People say, well, I've done too many bad things. You know, some people think I'm really good. Some people think I'm really bad. I'm really bad. If you knew what I've done, if you knew, there's no way that Jesus could forgive me for the things that I've done. And friends, I want to say, every ounce of blood that poured from his body provides forgiveness and cleansing for your sins, past, present, and future. And that's the incredible thing. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough times. You can't memorize enough scripture. You can't give enough money to the United Way. All you have to do is receive a free gift from Jesus. And that's why he died. And if that wasn't enough, he proved his power by rising again. His death has brought us life. If you're truly a follower of Jesus, he tells us two things. Go and tell. Go and share. We're on a mission that as we go through life, we're to make disciples. We're to let others know about the incredible life that Jesus offers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes. Not just Americans, not just rich people, not just poor people, not white, black, Asian, Hispanic. Whoever believes. Not just people that have been good all their life. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus died for you. He says, just receive the gift. Only Jesus died for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. Buddha didn't die for you. The person in the mirror didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. Tomorrow is the beginning of the EACH campaign. We've been talking about this around here for a long time. And today's Sunday Free Press. I just want to read you what it says in here. For those of you that are unfamiliar with EACH, it's Everyone a Chance to Hear. And last Saturday, we joined with about 25,000 of our best friends for a prayer walk downtown. Hope? Question mark, hope. Some people think Detroit's past was brighter than its future, but we don't think the story is finished yet. The love of Jesus has shaped our lives in profound ways. Stories of insignificance and despair have been replaced with purpose and hope. We believe that this same love has the power to create a future for Detroit, one that outshines our past. Over the next 40 days, more than 500 churches and ministries will join together to make this love known through our words and community service. We invite you to join us as we write a new story of hope for our region. TwoWordStory.com. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I urge you these next couple days, go to TwoWordStory.com. You're going to see it on billboards. You're going to see it on t-shirts. You're going to see it on the buses around town. We're just trying to make Jesus known to our community. Not force it on anybody, but just invite them to the party to let them know that Jesus has changed and transformed our lives. The second greatest story ever told. And that his story, the greatest story ever told, can change their lives as well. It's all about this go and tell. We have unprecedented opportunity over the next 40 days. And I think it's so interesting, and it's not a coincidence. Jesus arose, and for the next 40 days, he did ministry and let people know about him. And then he left. We've got a window of opportunity the next 40 days. To let Jesus' story, to go and tell, to let the story out, to let people know your story and others. Some of you in this room, I realize you're not Christ followers. You know, you're here because you want to call mom afterward and say, hey, I went to church on Sunday, you know. Maybe you came with family or friends or whatever. We're so glad that you're here. This is a safe place where you can ask questions, where you can check out Christianity and see if Jesus is true. But I just want to urge you, regardless of where you're at in your spiritual journey, I want to urge you to consider Jesus if you never have. Not because it's the religion of the United States of America, not because even the Bible tells me so, but because Jesus has changed my life, it's changed the lives of people around here, and no one else offers you the deal that he offers. No one else offers forgiveness. No one offers hope. No one offers life the way a living Christ can offer. Only Jesus demonstrated his love for you. It says, God demonstrates his love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Only Jesus' tomb is empty. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die, have eternal life. This is the practice right now. This is round one, but there's something even greater to come. But what's so exciting to me is that although the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Not just when you die, but have life to the full now. Life to the full now. I don't know anybody that has more life than I do. I don't know anyone that has more life and joy and peace and excitement and lives life to the full than my brothers and sisters that have a hope and that have a future and have a purpose and have meaning in life. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. So today's the day of celebration. On Friday, we remembered an innocent man who died. And it was a sorrowful day. But today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One definition of the word celebration means to praise publicly and to proclaim. And that's what Jesus told us to do. He said, go public. When we say we're going to celebrate, just not in here, we're going to celebrate out there, friends. We're going to celebrate for the next 40 days to go public and let people know about Jesus and just invite him to the party. Not to force anybody, not to pressure anybody, but just invite him to the party. And I hope this invitation lasts longer than 40 days. I'm hoping it lasts for 40 years, maybe for 40 generations, as we continue to celebrate every day Easter, celebrate every day the resurrection, celebrate every day and make it public and go public. That's what Two Word Story is about. That's what Sile's about. That's what church is about. Letting the whole world know that Jesus is alive. And we're going to take a few moments as the band comes up to just celebrate together, to prepare for what we're going to share, to let the whole world know that Jesus is alive. He's alive, friends. He is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Would you stand, please?